Welcome to the Make Room Show, formerly titled The 29-Minute Mom. I am your host, Jennifer Ford Berry, certified professional organizer, best-selling author, and coach. I've spent the last two decades teaching women how to get organized so that they can free up more space, time, energy, and money. This podcast is for the woman who wants to make room in her home and in her life for the people and the things that matter the most. Each week, I am bringing you episodes that will help you feel less overwhelmed and more inspired to create the life that you deserve. So come on, girl, let's do this together. Hey, ladies, and maybe some gentlemen. So happy you've joined us again for another episode of the Make Room Show. And today, I know this is going to be a very special episode. I'll tell you why in a second. So please welcome my guest today, Julie Lynn Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me, Jennifer. I appreciate this opportunity.
I'm so happy you're here. I don't feel like this is by accident. You are a grief specialist and coach. And I have been dealing with some grief in my life, and also for a very, very close friend of mine. If anyone listened to the last couple of episodes, it's been a difficult time and chapter and season for one of my closest friends. And so I am just very deeply grateful right now for the divine intervention of this episode, because we already had this scheduled.
That's yes, the good part, we did. Right?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. God knows.
Yes, he knows everything. And I think we've had this scheduled maybe for a month or so. And, you know, we lost our friend Jason 2 weeks ago. So I'm excited about this episode, not because of that, but because I know this episode is supposed to happen. And I also know that it's going to help a lot of people. And I think that it's interesting, because when we talk about how to get through grief today, you're coming from a different standpoint than me, but marrying these two expertises together is going to be quite powerful, I believe. And you're also going to be able to help me navigate this season in my life, as well as so many other people listening. So I want you to just kind of start out, Julie Lynn, and tell the listeners, how did you end up becoming a grief specialist and coach?
So when we moved to Texas almost 10 years ago now, we had come here because my husband had been called to be a lead pastor here. And when you move to a new town, you're usually looking for, how can I make new friends? How can I get involved? And so I was looking for a way to get involved in my community. And we didn't have a lot of friends back then when we just moved to a place. And so one of the friends we did have said, Julie Lynn, why don't you come and volunteer at this hospice where I work? And I thought, well, I've never done that before, but it's a new season, new day, so I'll give it a try. And getting into volunteering there, almost immediately, God put a passion in my heart for specifically the bereavement side of hospice. So someone that has had just a hole ripped in their life because of a death loss. And so that began what I didn't know was going to be an incredible journey into grad school, bereavement calls, support, and then eventually my own grief coaching and specialist practice, which has been an incredible journey. So just this one step of taking a risk and volunteering in my community unfolded this whole journey. I would not have known about graduate programs in thanatology, which is where my master's degree, that's the name of it. The Greek word for death is thanos. And so it's the study of death, grief, and bereavement from a lot of different angles, with the goal, end goal, of supporting people that have been through a death loss. And if I had not been there, I would not have received all this information about graduate studies and programs. And so you just see how God put all of this together, all of these puzzle pieces, and with someone quite unlikely. I love happy endings and happy movies and happy things. And so you know that when something like this unfolds, that it's the power of God doing this. It's not you. You are the vessel through which it comes. And that's been the joy in working in difficult circumstances for all these years.
Oh my gosh, I have so many things just on that little bit. Okay, so first of all, let me just say a shout out to hospice in general, because it is the most amazing, they're just angels, they really are. We had hospice for my grandfather, we had hospice for my brother-in-law, and it literally, these people are angels. So anyone listening that's involved with hospice, God bless you, because that is, that's a difficult job, but it's something that needs to be done, and you help so many people. So I just want to give them the recognition they deserve. The other thing that I'm really impressed with your story is that you got to a new city, and the first thing you thought of when you thought of getting involved was just, how could you serve? How could you help out? And you didn't, I think it's so crazy. And I say this over and over because I'm really into teaching people how to follow their purpose and how we're all here for a purpose. But a lot of times you figure out what your purpose is by serving.
Right? Yes.
That's yes, how you figure out what you're good at. Like that's you're right. All of a sudden serving just to serve. And then it hits you, man, I'm kind of good at this, or I was born to do this, or I have the right skills to do it. And then it's like, you see a need and you're willing to step into that need. And I really feel that that is, if we had to narrow down, water down what a purpose is, it's just looking around in your normal everyday life, seeing a need and being able to say, okay, God, I'm willing to step into that and fill that need for your people. I mean, how better to explain purpose than that?
Yes. And I so agree with you that it comes in the working. And sometimes the working involves risk and trying something that you've never tried before. And then just the joy, like you said, of discovering, I love this. And that's exactly what happened to me in the hospice realm, where I thought, I was born, like, I love this. I love working with these people. I love helping people when they are dealing with some of the most raw pain that they will ever feel this side of heaven. That's where I am called. And like you said, that happens when you take that step. And so that part was very exciting and very unexpected. I did not expect all of this to unfold just by going to volunteer.
Yes, I think that's amazing. And I feel like if somebody's listening, you could be an inspiration to speak into them, that if you're feeling that sense of just, where do I belong? You can find those answers by helping others, because people that are in need and people that where that, like we said, where that need is being shown to you, of course they're going to want you to get involved because they're in need. So it's, you can never tell yourself, I don't belong in that,
right,
in that scenario. So that's amazing. I think that the other thing that hit me is, I'm very much like you, Julie Lynn, where you said you like happy endings. It's funny because I, in my everyday life, I don't watch sad, you know, I can watch sad movies as long as the good guys win. I yes. don't, you know, I don't read disturbing books. I'm very careful on what gets into my eyesight or into my brain and into my spirit. I'm very protective of that. But yet when it comes to bereavement, you know, I've been put into many, many situations throughout my life where I've been that person to step in. At first it started out because I've always been a person that was okay with public speaking. So I would speak at like family members' funerals and things like that. And I felt like I wanted to do that. That was something I could do to honor that person that I loved. But then as my profession and organization went on and on, I can't even tell you, I must work with somebody almost every other week that has lost somebody they love, just helping them get everything in order. And then it turns into the paperwork and the phone calls and the executor's responsibilities. And because, even though I want happy endings, somehow I'm okay with doing all that work because there is a happy ending. The happy ending is heaven. And right. It's the people that are left behind that are dealing with the worst part of it. I never feel bad for the person that goes on to heaven. I only feel bad for the people that are left behind that miss them so much. And so I want to talk about, you know, when we're in that position as a family member or friend and somebody we love is grieving, there's so many times, and I've seen this in different scenarios, where there's the people that kind of run away and they can't handle it. They don't want to face it. And then there's the people that show up even though it's hard. And, you know, it's interesting because we had a really good friend of ours, actually my husband's best friend, passed away when he was 19 in a car accident. And the next morning, because my husband and I are high school sweethearts, we went right to the parents' house. And I will never forget what his parents said to us, is that everybody kept driving by and they were so grateful we actually came into the house. And so I always remembered that my whole life, like, even if it's hard, I still show up, I still face it. And I feel like you can never go wrong doing that. So what are some things, give us some advice. What can we do when we are watching somebody love go through the grieving process, or it's something terrible has just happened, or a loss has just happened? How do we show up as friends and family members?
So when you go to the funeral, which I hope that you do for these losses, when you can, you're given a funeral program. Inside that funeral program is a wealth of information for follow-up. So do not throw that funeral program away. Inside that funeral program, you have the birth date, you have the death date. In some cases, you have a wedding anniversary, and you can quickly plug those dates into your phone. And even if it's one text, if it's one phone call, if it's stopping by and putting something in their mailbox, just like your friends had said, we watched all these people drive by, be the one to lean in, be the one to send that text. Grieving people are very, very attuned to specific dates. Not only the first year after a loss, but oftentimes the second year can be even harder because that shock has worn off and the reality that this person is not coming back is setting in. So those dates that you plug in your phone and send just a quick text. There was a lady at our church, and I knew that this was the day that her son had passed a year previously. And I just sent a heart. That's all I sent. But she knew that I was thinking of her. And oftentimes, even extended families forget these dates, not because they want to, but because they may be grieving themselves. And so the power of one, the power of you leaning in and doing something on these specific dates can be life-changing for someone who is grieving. So that's one thing that you can do in terms of leaning in. And then I know at later in the show, I have a treasure box full of resources and websites to explain. So I'm excited to tell about those too.
Okay. So I feel like we need to dive in a little bit more of how to help, because just that one thing is so powerful. You have the program in your hand. I literally just did this. I put the date of our friend's passing in my phone so I would remember to do this. And I think it's so powerful for us to tell everybody. This is something they can do right now. This is something they can grab their calendar and they can make a major difference in somebody's life at the lowest point of their life just by entering a few things into their phone calendar and setting an alarm. So it alerts you every single year. I mean, if you just click repeat, it will show up on your calendar every year, hit alarm, it'll show up that morning of. I love that. Do you have any other little tips like that for us?
The other thing to think about when you're talking about grieving people is, again, using that example of people just driving by that house and not leaning in. Most times we're intimidated by grief. And so a lot of times we back up from what we're intimidated by. And so it is a risky and courageous thing to do to talk with the person who is grieving and bring up the name of the person who is grieving instead of backing up from that. One of my resources that I use with some of my clients and a lot of churches that I talk to when I'm doing workshops with church staff is Nancy Guthrie. She is one of the co-hosts of Grief Share, which is a national program for grieving people. And one of the things she says in her materials that she talks about is a lot of times people won't say the name of the person who's died because, well, what if I make them cry? And what Nancy says is, you're not going to make them cry. She said those tears were already inside. And you are giving the gift of letting them release some of what was already there and acknowledging that and leaning into that rather than backing up, which is going to make the grieving person feel all the more isolated. They're already feeling a degree of isolation and loneliness. And so when you back up, it makes them feel even more isolated. So by leaning in and courageously bringing up the name of someone, and not only the name, but a very specific memory. And it can be something funny. It can be, I remember when this person made me laugh. I remember, but very specific. So if you can share that with a grieving person, it's life-changing for them. And I highly recommend Nancy's materials. One of my favorites is What Grieving People Wish You Knew About What Really Helps and What Really Hurts. You can find that on YouTube, and just some great material there. I use that, like I said, with a lot of clients and with church staff that I interact with when they're trying to figure out how to support grieving people in their church congregations.
Awesome. I will put that link in the show notes. Thank you for sharing that. Another thing that I thought was something, you know, that is nice to do is just to go through your phone and find your photos of the person or videos, and then make a little shared album for the family or the person that is grieving, because they don't have your memories, and that's something that you can gift them.
Yes, we did that once. We did a Blue Christmas service at our church. And one of the activities we did, if you remember making those paper chains as kids, you took strips of paper and put it into a chain and then put it on your tree. And what we did at our church was we wrote memories on those little pieces of paper and then made them into a chain. And so you can imagine the beauty across our sanctuary of, you know, someone walking over to a widow with this little piece of paper. I remember when your husband did this or this. And she had that to take home and put on her Christmas tree. So these things, like you said, are, they're so simple, but they're so powerful in the life of somebody that's grieving.
Yes. Another thing I think you can do is pretty simple. Just say, what can I do for you? Or what do you need from me? Mm-hmm. And just put the question out there so that they mm-hmm. feel like they can ask. Because I know going through that with my friend, she didn't really at first want to ask for help. And she had asked me to do something because I asked her that question. So I knew what she needed from me. And then from there, I asked other people that loved her and were close to her. I kind of almost divvied up some jobs and said, I think this could help or that could help, because I knew she wasn't in the frame of mind to go around asking for help from many people. So if almost like if you know that you're that person that your loved one can trust, find out what they need, and then you take it upon yourself to get these things done so they don't have to worry about it.
Yes. Oftentimes, I think people who have walked through this understand it, that first 4 to 6 weeks, that's when the hospice would have us intentionally make a call to someone who's grieving, because there's a bit of a brain fog that sets in, and that is the body's natural anesthesia of getting you adjusted to the person not being here. And the difficulty for grieving people, you see this in your organizing business, is that they are dealing with this shock and brain fog, and on top of it, a tidal wave of administrative duties. So they have to go get the death certificate, and they have to take it all over town, and they have to retell the death narrative over and over and over again, and close accounts and open accounts. And so it's such a crucible for a grieving person in those first 4 to 6 weeks. And oftentimes at the 6 week mark is where a lot of the support drops off. The flowers are gone, the cards are gone, the casseroles are gone. And so that 6 week mark after a loss can be incredibly poignant and intentional for you to lean in when so much of the support has dropped off. And that's when they need support the most. And then as you get closer to the 6 month mark, a lot of people, not everybody, because as we all know, grief is so individual as the fingerprint of the person that you lost. But oftentimes trends we see, is that at the 6 month mark is when the finality, of this is setting in, or the year mark, that this person is not on a trip. They're not on vacation. They're not coming back. And so that's another time that in the hospice industry, we would make a follow-up call to just check, how are you doing? How's the probate on the will? What's happening? It's these questions that they're dealing with every single day, but that a lot of people don't ask. It's their reality now that they're walking through, but so many people are afraid to ask. And so just leaning in and asking those questions about what is going on in their everyday that someone who's not grieving can't understand.
It's so true. I love that you said the 6 week mark and the 6 month mark, because that's another thing we can all enter into our calendar right now to remind us. And, it'll be so powerful because so many people don't know that. Right. I have always been completely amazed, Julie Lynn, about the administrative work in the middle of grief. I think it's just, I've said this last week so many times. Why was it set up this way? This is horrible. Yes. You have to do all this planning right in the worst days of your life. And then you have to retell the story, which is interesting because my friend said to me, now it seems like a story. Because she said so much, which is horrible. And then also you almost feel like you have to entertain during this time because you're having to worry about everybody else's grief when yours hasn't even set in yet. The administrative work is unbelievable. If anyone listening hasn't gone through this, I really want to prepare you and tell you, get your ducks in a row, get organized now, have the conversations with your family members. I just recently had a conversation with my own parents because I was going through with a client this whole process. And I feel like last year I did it one after the other. And I said to my parents, make sure everything's written down. And they said, well, you have our will. And I said, no, it's the little things that are meaningful to people. It's not even like the house and the things, the main things, because if you're selling that, okay, you split it, you know, with however many people. It's the little things, you know, like, my mom has three daughters. I said, if it comes to jewelry, you have to specify who you want to have what, because me as the executor does not want to make that decision on your behalf and be held responsible for it. I see a lot of families getting in arguments over the little things. And so you really need a plan. And if you are the person that just can establish your wishes, that is helping your entire family. And I know people don't like to think about it, but you're going to help the people that are grieving and left behind so much by doing this and just having things in order. So if you're saying you haven't done that, it's very important.
That is so true. In all the bereavement calls that I made during the hospice days, the people that I talked to on the other end of the phone who were the most at peace would say, Julie Lynn, we did exactly what mom wanted. We didn't miss a beat. She laid it all out. We did it to exactly the letter of what she wanted. And they were at peace. You could hear it in their voice. So to absolutely emphasize what you just said, it brings so much more peace to the person who's grieving if these things have been talked about ahead of time and not in the moment, because there's already so much to deal with in the moment, the emotion and the administrative duties.
Yes. One more thing I just want to put as a tip for how friends and family can help. And this may not be for everybody, but I think it's super important. Share your memory. So if you are sending a card, share something that person might not know about the relationship between you and the person that has passed, because we don't know everything about our loved ones, right? Like, I don't know every encounter my husband has or everything, all the lives my children touch. I don't know that. So I feel, and I know this because my brother-in-law passed away young, and he had four children that were young adults, were in high school. And I helped plan his celebration of life. And one thing we did is we had everybody just speak their favorite stories, because my brother-in-law was quite a character and he had quite a life, and his children got to sit there and listen to things that they might not have known about. So even if you're not going to do that kind of celebration, write it in a card and send a text. Hey, I remember this one time. I think that's really awesome.
Yes. Some of the things that I've done, because every client that I work with is so individual. I know it's that way with the clients you work with too. It's definitely not a one size fits all. It's very unique, very individual. And one of the clients I was working with at one point, in order to gather memories, one of the things that this client did was to put on her social media page, could you share a memory, a very specific memory? with me about the person that I lost. And it really helped her to see this whole string, this whole thread of people saying, I remember this, I remember this funny story, I remember, and it just really helped her at a dark time. Mm-hmm. So you are so right. Those specific memories really, really help comfort someone who is grieving. And that's what we're all out to do. One of the things that I tell people too is to be so careful. Anything that is going to come on the other side of these two words, at least, is going to be bad. So a lot of times people who are well-meaning will say something trite or something quick. And in that, you're trying to comfort yourself, not a grieving person. So like you said, the leaning in and being willing to sit in something that is not fixed and quite frankly will never be fixed this side of heaven is a very courageous thing to do. And all of us, just like in what you've described, you're called to the front lines of this. All of us are at some point in our life, we're called to the front lines of grief. And so to be willing to courageously lean in and not just say something quick that really could be hurtful instead of helpful. So just to steer clear of those two words, at least, because whatever comes on the other side of that is not going to help. It's not going to comfort. And there's so many other ways, like we've talked about, that you can comfort.
That's so good. So good. Oh, so many things. Okay. So I know you have a plethora of resources.
Yes.
So share, because some of the things you were telling me earlier, I didn't even know existed. I think it's amazing. So what are some resources that either the people that have experienced a loss or those of us that are helping them through the loss can go, you know, can look to?
Yes. One of my favorite ones right out of the gate is one that I found in grad school. And you look back and you see, this is why God had me go through the time in hospice, the time in grad school, because this is where I learned about some of these resources. MollyBears.org is a nonprofit organization, and they will recreate a teddy bear in the exact weight of an infant that died. They will put the name on the bear and the exact birth weight. And you can imagine the power that that has for a grieving mother or a grieving father to hold the exact birth weight of the baby that they lost. I've worked with a client that has used Molly Bears, and so I know it works. I got to see the bear on the other side of the screen. And so it's an incredible organization. There's about a 2-month wait for bears. So just know that if you put in a request that you'll wait a little while, but they do mail it right to your house. So that's one resource for people that have been through infant loss. One that we talked about before we started recording today is one that I just found, neveralonewidows.com. And they are a faith-based organization. They have Joshua 1:9 right on their front page. And they help support grieving widows all over the country, generally younger widows. And they have retreats that are fully funded where a widow can, all expenses paid, come and take part in this retreat and connect with other widows in her geographic area. So we have a local chapter meeting in East Texas where I am, and then they're all over the country. The other thing that's great about this organization is they're connected with Gary Sinise and some of the work he does supporting veterans and first responders. And so Never Alone Widows has the whole branch of what they do that is for widows of first responders, which I love. Another one, both of these next two that I'll mention, you can type in your zip code and there's support groups all over the country. The first one is compassionatefriends.org, and they are for people that have been through the loss of a child. Generally, you're going to see people in these groups that have lost an adult child. And there's one, again, meeting right here in East Texas where we are. And then I had a client that I was looking for, a group in Colorado at one point, and they have some meeting there. They're all over the country. And then the same with Grief Share. That's one of the more widely known ones, very faith-based, very evangelical. And it is a 13-week course. It comes with a workbook. So you're going to watch a video all together. You're going to talk through your homework. And one of the powerful things I saw in that as a bereavement intern was that grieving people in the community began to realize I'm not alone. There's other people right here that are walking through what I'm walking through, and to hear the stories and through the tears and through the sharing to be able to walk this road together and know that they're not alone was so powerful. Another one is themorning.com, M-O-R-N-I-N-G. This is another one for infant loss, miscarriage. And this one, I was so impressed. They're so detailed on this one. They have downloadable funeral programs for you. Because like we talked about, you're dealing with so much emotion and so many administrative duties that there's a template for a baby's funeral that's right there for you to use. All kinds of just incredible resources on there. And then lastly, one of the ones that I've used with clients recently is a book that you can find on Amazon. It's called I Love You Still. It is a memorial book for someone that's lost a baby. So the book is written with the understanding at the beginning that this is going to be a miscarriage or a stillbirth. And so the whole book is designed that way. There's a little elephant, a little baby elephant on the front that's letting a balloon go up in the air. And it's called I Love You Still. And just, again, I've had a client that's used this resource. And just, again, so powerful for someone that is looking to memorialize the life of their baby, even if it was just a tiny, you know, short few weeks, to acknowledge that this is a life and this had an impact on my life and on the world around me. So there's so many resources out there. I'm researching them all the time. And then I work with people one-on-one who may not want the group scenario. I work with people one-on-one here in East Texas, person to person, and then online all over the country.
Oh, good. I was just going to ask you that, if they can get a hold of you no matter where they're located.
Yes. So I work with people all over the country. It's www.julielynashley.com.
Awesome. And we'll have that in the show notes as well. Wow. Yes. You are just an angel. Really?
Well, I so appreciate this opportunity. And again, just the God timing of it all with what you've been through. And again, all of us are called to the front lines of grief at some point. And so how wonderful to have some resources in addition to the texts and the calls and the things we can do personally, but to be able to refer people to some of these organizations that are out there for additional help.
Yes, I think this is just amazing. I appreciate you so much, Julie Lynn. So glad you got to come on the show. And if anybody's listening to this show today and it just really touches you and you know that you need to step further into this, whether you're the person grieving or you know somebody that is, feel free to reach out to either myself or Julie Lynn. We'd be happy to help you get through this difficult time. And we just, you know, pray for you and for you, those that you have lost, and, you know, ask for God's peace and, you know, just blessing on your life as you get through this difficult season. So thank you, Julie Lynn, so much. And to everybody watching or listening, we thank you for being part of the Make Room Show today. Hey friend, thank you so much for listening today. Guess what? I am now offering my masterclass, Create an Organized and Purposeful Life, for free. All you have to do is go to the show notes below and click the link. In it, I will teach you my 5 core principles for organizing your home and your life, action steps you can start taking today, and time management that actually works. All you have to do is click that link in the show notes, and you will be on your way to getting your home and your life organized so that you can start living with more purpose and less overwhelm.